I don't see. God gives us a kind of a principle here, and I think that we can see how to apply it to a given circumstance. On the other hand, if you go out for lunch on the Sabbath, now in the winter you can go to a restaurant after sunset. And many times on the Day of Atonement, I have had a restaurant reservation for 6:30 in the evening. I appear at the restaurant at 6:30, and I don't have to go to more than a Sabbath day journey of work to get there. And the sun is setting at 6:30 at that time. And if they don't begin to bring any food anyway for the first 15 minutes or so, and so we don't eat anything until after dark. So I know that that's all right. And I had never thought until this evening when the question was brought up to me about whether it's wrong to go to a restaurant to eat. I know when I travel, I have to do it or go without. And so I do. On the other hand, those who eat at home should do all the preparing they can, like baking and things that take time. For example, you could prepare a salad, a cold salad, on Friday. Put it in the refrigerator. And today they have these wax papers and everything, you know, what's it called, wrap? That will keep it fresh. And the Reynolds wrap, is it? Or they call it best wrap around, I think I heard one of the commercials say on television, whichever one that is. And it'll keep it perfectly. And the refrigerator isn't working. You don't need to worry about it working anyway. You don't have to turn it off on the Sabbath. Because it's only a machine. It's not your manservant, your maidservant, or your horse, or your donkey, or your son or your daughter. Now, the thing I want to say is this. On the one hand, we don't want to be so straight-laced that we make the Sabbath a yoke of bondage. God did not intend that. On the other hand, we don't want to go to the other extreme and get liberal and say, oh, well, it's all right, we can do anything on the Sabbath. You can't do that. You've got to be careful to keep that day holy. Now, maybe if you only go a short distance on the Sabbath and you eat in a restaurant and it saves you the work at home, well, I understand some others are condemning one couple for doing that. And I say that you can't sit in judgment, and I don't condemn them. You have to be honest in yourself. Now, the Holy Spirit in you is an attitude in your mind. And it's an attitude of where you want to please God more than yourself. I'll tell you, there's a rotten attitude that most people have. They want to please themselves more than God. They want to please God as little as they can get away with. And we've had that in this church. When you see, how far can we go in the devil's way? How little can we obey God and get away with it? You'll never get into the kingdom with that kind of an attitude. Never. If there is any doubt, give God the benefit of the doubt every time. So what do you do in cases like that? Now, another thing brought to my attention. Here was a family that were driving 8 hours on the Sabbath to go to a different church area than the one where they usually meet, because there was a basketball game on Saturday night at this other church, and their kids wanted to play basketball, and so the whole family drove 8 hours on the Sabbath day in a car, starting early morning to get to another place in the afternoon so they could be there at night for a basketball game. Now, the basketball game probably occurred after dark. That's usually played indoors with lights anyway. But driving a car 8 hours when you don't need to is certainly working on the Sabbath. And that is foolishness, and that is being literal, and that is wrong on the liberal side. Now, God said the Sabbath is made for man. It's made to be a delight, the holy of the Lord. It's a day of rest, and it's for our good. is not a straight-laced yoke of bondage. Let's get that straight. We don't want to go to either extreme. Now, this came to me. Some want to invite others for an afternoon over to their home for socializing, but not for fellowship, but just for a social afternoon. Well, it depends. How are you spending your time? How far do you travel? How much work is involved? A lot of those things enter in. I'm not going to strain it in that or swallow a camel. On the other hand, I'm not going to be so liberal when I say that you can just get away with anything you want. Why can't we get a balance, brethren? Why can't we get a right balance? Depends on what you do and how you do it. Now, I mentioned on one of the Friday nights when I was talking on the Sabbath, where I had been preaching at another place, and we were flying back, and it was still before sundown on the Sabbath, and I was tired. I had been preaching the night before. I had preached at the afternoon, as I remember, and I had worked on the plane, and we'd had a meeting of ministers and their wives after the afternoon service in this other city, and now we were flying for some 3 hours or more back home. And I was tired. I had been working my mind, and my mind was fatigued. I needed some physical exercise, but I couldn't get that on the airplane. And maybe I could run up and down the aisle a little bit, but if I did, I think Captain Black would be calling in telling me to sit down and behave myself. Because if you would run, that would jar the plane. Incidentally, by the way, I noticed in my office today, I felt myself rocking back and forth a couple of times. You ever notice? There was an earthquake here today. Very slight one. But I noticed it exactly 10:30 this morning, and then a little later, again. A couple of times each time. Anyway, coming home, and I mentioned this once before, I took out a deck of cards, and I was playing a little solitaire at my desk in my office in the plane. I didn't know what to do. I was weary. I was mentally weary. I tried to sleep, and I couldn't sleep. And I had to unwind, and I had to relax. And the most restful thing I could do was to play a little solitaire. I wasn't trying to win. I was just trying to do something to rest my mind a little bit and relax. But you know, a minister aboard sort of very subtly bawled me out a little bit for that. I was breaking the Sabbath. Well, I'm not quite that straight-laced. Now, if I were doing it for pleasure and for the excitement of enjoying it, I would say it was wrong. A lot of it depends. What is your motive? What is your intent? What is your purpose? What's on your mind? Why do you do it? I couldn't get physical exercise. I was too tired to go back and talk with the others on the plane. I was just tired. I wanted to rest my mind. And that, for me, was rest. All right, I tell you I did it. And I tell you that I would tell you, under the same circumstances, you could do it. It would be right. And I don't think that was wrong. If I did, I certainly would never do it again. But unless someone can show me that was wrong, I probably will do it again. Now, the Sabbath is not for our pleasure. On the other hand, it is not the opposite. It is made for man, but it is God's day to honor him. It is made for man. It is made to be a delight to us, a relaxation from the normal weekday occupation. And where your normal weekday occupation is mental, perhaps you need a mental rest on the Sabbath. You ever think of that? Depends on what your work is. Now, I want to read that one now about Jesus' disciples going through the cornfield on the Sabbath. Sabbath day. You see, that's in Mark, the second chapter, beginning with verse 23. And it came to pass that Jesus went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, or maybe it was grain field, but whichever. Some translations have it grain fields. And the disciples began, as they went, to pluck ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And in verse 27, he said to them, The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. And that's where it said, Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And it is his day that it was made for man. Now, there were examples about healing on the Sabbath, and Jesus was criticized for that. We come to Luke 13 now. Luke 13, beginning with verse 10. And Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together. She just couldn't straighten herself up and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Now, he didn't even ask her if she wanted a healing or anything of the kind. He just had mercy on her and told her that she was healed. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered, was in the church service on the Sabbath, with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said to the people, There are 6 days on which men ought to work. In them, therefore, when they come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. And Jesus answered him, Thou hypocrite, he called the ruler of the synagogue a hypocrite. Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to water? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound all these 18 years, be loosed from her bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these words, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. So he did heal quite often on the Sabbath day, and the Pharisees in other cases besides this rebuked him for it. But he said that you feed your livestock and you water them on the Sabbath day. Now, I knew a turkey raiser in the church up in the original parent church of this Philadelphia era in Eugene, Oregon. He was a turkey raiser. And as soon as he was converted and baptized, began to keep the Sabbath, on Sunday, he had to grind feed for his turkeys. He would grind 1/6 of the amount of feed that it took for a whole day's feeding on Sunday. And on Monday he would grind another 6th, and on Tuesday another 6th, and on Friday finally a 6th. And by that time, by Friday, he had 6/6 or a whole day's extra feeding ahead. Now, he'd have to go out and feed it to them, but the labor of grinding it, he just spread it over the 6 days before he came to that, so it didn't work on the Sabbath day. And it was for baptizing this man before he came to see the truth about the Sabbath that I was chastised by other Sardis ministers up there. But I told him that the scripture says, baptize them and then teach him the things that God had said. Matthew 28, in the Great Commission, going to all the world and preaching the gospel. baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I told you. Well, they cannot understand these things until they receive the Holy Spirit. And they receive the Holy Spirit after they're baptized, and you lay hands on for the receiving of the Holy Spirit. And besides, that's when they're brought into the church. We're not brought into the church by water baptism. That's another thing I'm going to have to speak out on some of these days. Water baptism is not entrance into the church. By one Spirit we're all baptized into the one body of the church. You need to realize that. By one Spirit, not by water. But water baptism is nevertheless commanded. Now let's see. Luke 14, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass, as Jesus went into the house of one of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. Now here, he actually went in to eat with an unconverted man, a Pharisee, on the Sabbath day. Now, if I could do that today, I know that there'd be some that would criticize me and say, "Hey, Mr. Armstrong went in to eat with an unconverted person on the Sabbath day." Well, I want you to notice that Jesus didn't hear, but he never sinned, did he? And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" And they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go, and answered them, saying, "Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit or into the ditch or whatever, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath?" They could not answer him again on those things. Although they didn't bother him anymore on it. Well, I've heard someone say, "Don't go and throw your ox or your horse or someone into the ditch on Friday so you can pull him out on the Sabbath." And I think you get the point there. It was one that I heard up in Eugene, Oregon years before I even came down here. Well, acts of mercy and things like that are perfectly okay on the Sabbath. Now, do not get overly straight-laced, but do not get liberal or compromise with what is right, that the Sabbath is made not to pollute it. And remember that it belongs to God and not to us. It's His day, and how He chose us to keep it. Now, Sabbath day's journey was permitted. You read in Acts 1, verse 12, and that was from Jerusalem there, by the place where the wall is in Jerusalem now, up to the Mount of Olives. Now, that's about 7/8 of a mile, but also it's uphill. And see, it talks about going up the Sabbath day's journey, not coming down, walking uphill. On an automobile or a plane, you can do about the amount that would be the same as walking approximately a mile on the level, or even a trifle over a mile on level ground, that would be work. How much work is there in driving an automobile and riding in one? Even riding in a car all day long gets to be very, very tiresome. And so you can't go 8 or 10 hours a day on the Sabbath. That would be going too far, but the main thing is just don't tempt God one way or the other. Let's try to do what is pleasing in His sight and try to be sure that we are pleasing God. Now, let me see. Finally, Romans 11, beginning with verse 53. All the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or has been His counselor? Or who has first given to Him, and it shall not be recompensed to Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. And with that, I just tried to cover tonight to give you the principles involved. And God's law is like that. It is a principle to be applied to various circumstances. Now, you have to use wisdom. The thing is, are you trying to see how much you can get away with? If you're in any doubt, give God the benefit and not yourself every time. But it's not to make you miserable. It's to be a happiness and a joy and a joyful occasion for us. We must honor God. Remember that He is in our presence in Sabbath services, and we should conduct ourselves accordingly, not being either too liberal or spending it a night or swallowing a camel. I think you can apply it your own way and be sure that you're pleasing to God. And remember, you're being judged now. And if you do wrong, God is judging you now. I'm not. God is. Your judgment day is not coming later. It's here now. You're being judged hour by hour, minute by minute, and day by day. Every one of us is. Let's remember that we're the first to be judged, and judgment is on us. So, hope to see you all tomorrow, and I hope there'll be more people back for tomorrow. I had a very important message for tomorrow afternoon that I wanted to, but I suppose there won't be any more people back tomorrow, so most of them. I don't know why we always take so long to get back from the beach. That's another thing. We want to take every advantage. When there's any doubt, we always take the advantage to ourselves. Well, some of us are going to find that it's going to cost us our chance of getting into the kingdom if we do that. Just remember that.